Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it, just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello there, I'm your host, Doran Rosenfeld, and looks like my guest, Noah Hammond-Tyrell, just showed up. Hello there, Noah.
Hey, Doran, how's it going? Great to be here.
Pretty good. I was wondering if you were going to show, but there you are. So let me tell the crowd a little bit about you before I start talking to you directly.
Okay.
Noah Hammond-Tyrell is a co-owner and CEO of Feel Good Hemp, the only hemp products company that offers a free self-empowerment platform and community to its clients. The Feel Good Library, which you can explore at www.feelgoodlibrary.com. Noah is a New Jersey native. He currently lives in the mountains of Utah with his wife Danielle and baby girl Lakshmi. He is a yogi, coach, and entrepreneur whose mission is to help people feel good naturally and live their life to the fullest. Growing up playing baseball, football, rugby, and video games, he lived a typical suburban childhood till a bad breakup in college sent him searching for answers. Since then, he's been on a relentless quest to unlock the secrets of human potential and how to live a deeply fulfilling life. I think we're all in the search for that. Noah has created hundreds of videos for YouTube documenting his journey and giving insights to others. And he continues to be an avid learner and practitioner dedicated to the path of spiritual self-realization. A Jersey boy turned spiritual mystic, Noah loves nothing more than to talk about spirit, human potential, and creating lasting change in ourselves and on this planet. He believes that we all have the capacity to be like the Christ or the Buddha and leave a ripple of love that is felt around the world for generations. And he's committed to helping people unlock their highest potential. Well, that's some pretty lofty goals, Noah.
Hey, aim small, miss small. You got to shoot for the moon, right?
You got to shoot for what's out there, yep. Okay, so is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we begin with the list of questions and things about your book and product?
Well, hello and welcome and thanks for joining us. And yeah, I'm excited to share, you know, we go into so many different topics on these kinds of interviews, so I'm just excited to see where this one takes us.
Okay. Well, let's start at the top. What is your company's mission, and why do you do what you do?
Well, Feel Good Hemp is here to help people feel good naturally, and we do that through hemp CBD products, which everyone's heard at least a little bit of something about these days. They're super effective and all of that, right? But we also, on top of that, add a holistic coaching and empowerment platform, because I've been a coach for 13 plus years now. My wife is a yoga instructor and sound healer. And we just know from experience that you know, humans, we're more than a body, right? We're emotions. We're a mentality. We are a spiritual being. We're an energetic being. There's so many layers to what makes us up that if you just take CBD, of course you could feel better from that. But we wanted to offer the complete package of what people could, you know, embrace and explore in order to feel good naturally. You know, how to release emotional trauma and old hurts. How to take pains out of the body in ways other than just taking CBD. So, we're on a mission to help people feel good naturally, and we're just giving people every resource we can come up with, spiritual and holistic and also CBD to help us achieve that mission. It's this altruistic bone I have inside me. I don't know what it is, but I've always been trying to help people overcome what ails them and succeed and feel fulfillment and feel bliss and feel happiness and feel all the things you feel when you're not dealing with pain and discomfort and, you know, stuckness.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we got to that, if you want to hear the story, I'm sure, is about my dad being diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. And, you know, he was given 3 months to live by the doctors. At the time, my wife and I were newly married, and I was living in Los Angeles. And I got that phone call that nobody wants to get. You know, my mom called me up and said, "Hey, Noah, Dad's really sick. He's in the hospital. It's very serious. Like, got to get down here right away." They're down in San Diego. So we get down there, and he's up on the hospital bed, and he just looks terrible. You know, he's gray and pale and kind of looks a little lifeless, and he had lost 60 pounds in a month.
Whoa.
And he was just like, he was the shell of himself. And, you know, the doctors gave us that diagnosis. He's got 3 months to live. They didn't give us a treatment protocol. They didn't give us a percent chance of him living. They gave him a death sentence, essentially. But I'd done so much training in all these different holistic healing modalities, and I had personally been in workshops with holistic healers who've healed thousands of people from end-stage cancers using alternative medicines and approaches. And so I just knew, like, okay, maybe he's going to die, but there's also something we can do. So we can at least try. And so I went home and I kind of put together a game plan. And the main components of it was to give him a ton of vegetable juice, specifically beets and carrots, because they're very good for cleansing the liver, and we got that from a naturopathic doctor. And then I knew that a hemp oil treatment was a recently repopularized approach to fighting cancer. A guy named Rick Simpson from Canada is famous for popularizing it and dealing with a ton of blowback for doing it. but that's why I call it Rick Simpson oil, or RSO oil, is also just hemp oil. And it's both THC and CBD. And so when my dad got home from the hospital, we got him right away on this protocol, which focused mainly on tons of vegetable juice, like 20 to 40 ounces a day, and this hemp oil protocol. And to kind of make a long story short, after 6 weeks, when they did his MRIs and his blood work again, the nearly mini football-sized tumor that was on his liver had shrunk by about 35%. And we knew we were onto something at that point. And everybody was freaking out and obviously rejoicing. And we just kept going with the protocol. And within 4 months, he was completely cancer-free, not a speck of tumor tissue left on his liver, not a speck of tumor marker in his blood. And he's been that way for 4-plus years now. And
what?
Yeah, and this company, Feel Good Hemp, was sort of like, it was the gift that his, you know, it was a very intense time, right? Like, I literally broke out of my lease in L.A. and moved to an apartment to be closer by, and I was buying beets by the case from the grocery store, like having the grocer go in the back and pull out a whole box, and my wife came, obviously, and helped, and you know, she's an L.A. native, born and raised, and she left, you know, the town she has always known as home to come and help. And we really rallied the family and rallied our community and got behind my dad. And kind of the gift that we didn't realize would come from it was this company, because we got so familiar with CBD during that time. And this was just about when CBD was being legalized via the Farm Bill of 2018, where, you know, hemp was being federally legalized once again after 80 plus years of prohibition. So it was just a perfect storm of timing and purpose. And we just knew this was something that people didn't know enough about, didn't have enough good quality sources of access to it. And we needed to get the word out. So we started Feel Good Hemp.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very straight and organized.
Yeah, it was more of a mess, really. Maybe I make it sound straight and organized. But it was kind of just, we were fighting for my dad's life. And then what we did was, actually, my wife is a sound healer. And so she had we had a sound bath, which is where people come and they lay down in a yoga studio, typically. And we play these healing sound instruments, like a big gong and these crystal singing bowls that are tuned to the different chakras. And it's vibrational medicine. People come with shoulder aches and knee aches, and they leave without them, you know, and all they do is lay there and listen to the sounds. And so we decided to offer CBD at the sound bath as like an upsell, like a bonus, right? And most people took it, and the sound bath was just phenomenal. Like, the level of peace and calmness and stillness in the room was tangible. And the next morning, my wife woke up, and she just popped right out of bed, even though she usually loves to sleep in. She's like, I can't sleep. Let's get up. And we're sitting on the porch having our matcha, and she's like, I think we should start a CBD business. And I was like, I think that's a great idea. And at the time, I was dealing with, honestly, some business failures. I had taken a company that I was doing digital marketing for thought leaders and transformational coaches, and kind of took a couple wrong turns with some good ideas that didn't pan out. And I had to like close the company. I had to fire my team of 10 people. Like, it was a whole big mess. And instead of like going straight back into trying to figure out what's next in business, I sort of put that all aside and focused on my dad and just said, I'm going to focus on the problem at hand and worry about that stuff later. And little did I know that my spirit or God or whatever you want to call it was like setting me up for my next purpose. I just didn't realize it.
Yeah, it's funny how the world works for us and we don't even realize it sometimes.
Totally.
So that's great. So in your introduction, we mentioned the library, the Feel Good Library. What is that exactly?
So it is a learning platform online that has tons of videos on different topics of things that can help people feel good naturally. So it's at feelgoodlibrary.com, and it's totally free. And it's sort of like our give back and our way of helping people, whether they buy our products or not. And it's, you know, really comes from this total awareness that, yeah, if you've got a backache, like low back, for example, sure, like you can take CBD and that can feel better, or you can rub balm on there and that can feel better. It could also be that you're carrying around some mental or emotional baggage around not being fully supported in this world. And that's typically why pain in the low back manifests. Beyond the typical, oh, I sit in my chair too much, and the physical reasons, there's also emotional and psycho-spiritual and all these other elements to our being. And so we give you simple tools to take emotional stress out of your body that gets stored in the tissues. We give you simple tools to take trauma out of the body that also gets stored in our cellular memory. A lot of people don't know this, but in yoga, they call it your mental body. They don't call it your mind. And the reason they call it your mental body is because literally every single cell in your body has intelligence and has the ability and capacity for memory and for storage of memories. And we don't only have a brain in our brain, by the way. We have a neural network in our heart, And we have a neural network very similarly to our brain in our gut, which is why people say things like, I know in my gut, or, you know, I just know in my heart that blah, blah, blah. So it's about giving people the tools to understand more of how the human works, because we don't learn this in school, right? There was never an emotional intelligence class in my school, and not in most anybody's school either. So we teach people simple tools to take the stress off in other ways if they want to, you know? It's by no means required. People can take CBD and feel an effect and get relief and reduce inflammation and do all these things. It's for people who are interested in that kind of thing.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So people can go at their own pace. That's good. So getting back.
There's a lot of different trainings in there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, getting back to Feel Good Hemp. We're hearing about it. You, I, everybody, we're hearing about it everywhere. CBD this and CBD that. For our audience at home, how does it work and what does it do?
So this is a great question, and it's often represented wrong in the way that people talk about it. So I'm happy to teach people what's really going on. So the place to start is there's a system of receptors in our body called the endocannabinoid system, which sounds big and long and fancy and crazy, but it's something they discovered in the early 1990s, so it's very new to modern science. But it's a system that's in our body, and it's our system of receptor sites that receive these compounds called cannabinoids. So CBD is a cannabinoid. THC is a cannabinoid. The hemp plant has over 114 different cannabinoids in it. We also make our own cannabinoids. They're called endocannabinoids. This is so natural that there's cannabinoids in mother's breast milk being passed from mother to baby. Mm-hmm. And our body makes its own. And what these cannabinoid sites and receptors do and what this system is responsible for is essentially harmony. It's the harmony regulator of each different body system. So you find these cannabinoid receptor sites in every organ, in your heart, in your lungs, in your brain, in everywhere, in your bones, in your muscles, in your blood, in your immune system, your lymphatic system. Everywhere in the body has cannabinoid receptor sites. And we make our own cannabinoids, but the things that cause us to not make enough cannabinoids is stress and aging. And we live in the most stressful version of society and world than we've ever lived in. From the mental stress of being so connected through technology to every negative thing happening all around the world, to the actual physical stress that we're put through from impurities in our water, impurities in the air, impurities in our food, Wi-Fi and electromagnetic frequencies that are dramatically more prevalent than ever before in human history. All these things cause body stress. And so as we stress and we make less cannabinoids, then we see the result of that is somewhere stops working in harmony. And that's why you keep hearing about CBD for everything, because it's like some people take it to sleep better. Some people take it to manage their blood sugar better. A woman who interviewed me a few weeks back completely healed her recent diagnosis of Crohn's and IBS to the point she was bedridden with symptoms. In 5 days of taking 100 milligrams of CBD per day, she was back to her life. And
wow.
Like 2 weeks later, she was completely symptom-free. And so you hear about it for all these things, even helping early-onset dementia and Alzheimer's issues, and because there's CBD receptors in the brain. And so it's kind of like when there's not enough cannabinoids, the weakest link in you is what you see. You know, some people get arthritis. Some people get a gut inflammatory condition. You know, some people get something else, right? So that's why you hear about CBD for everything from pain to sleep to anxiety and depression management to weight loss or blood sugar management, because it's like our whole body uses cannabinoids, and so when you give it cannabinoids, it functions better. And I'll say the only other thing that people should be aware of is, so the cannabinoids in the hemp plant, like CBD, your body doesn't just take them and latch on to the receptor sites. It works more like an SSRI, like a mental medicine for, you know, a lot of people who have anxiety or depression that get recommended SSRIs, which stands for a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So they don't put more serotonin into your brain. They basically stop your brain from digesting the serotonin it already has. So you already have more. Even if you're making lower amounts, that lower amount that you're making now becomes enough because you're not digesting it or breaking it down like you would normally. The same is true with CBD. When you take CBD, your body's natural cannabinoids get sort of like the systems get soothed, and they don't break down your natural endocannabinoids at the same rate that they would. And so you naturally have more of them, and then they go to where you need them, you know, which is why people get all these different responses from CBD, because it's your body's intelligent and it's going to use the extra cannabinoids where it sees it needs it. So that's why you keep hearing about it for everything. And I think it's important for people to understand, because otherwise it sounds like snake oil. It's like, how does this thing do all this stuff? It's really, the magic is not CBD. The magic is our own endocannabinoid system. And it's like, I tell people to take CBD for the same reason you might take vitamin D3 or, you know, vitamin E or vitamin A. It's about giving our body what it needs so that it can do what it already does best, right? And if we were living in a more natural world, in a more natural way, you know, if we spent our time living outside, guess what? We wouldn't need vitamin D3 supplements. But we don't. We sit inside all the time, so now we do, right? And guess what? If we were eating a super diversified diet that was seasonal and local, we would be getting more cannabinoids naturally in our diet. Cannabinoids are in a lot of other plants besides the hemp plant. And cows and other animals love to graze on hemp. And then if you eat that animal, it's got more cannabinoids in it, right? So there's actually a beef company in the United States that was started recently called the Hemp Cattle Company. And they raise and finish their cattle completely on hemp. And that's how a lot of cows used to graze before Prohibition. So people would get cannabinoids in their diet much more naturally. And then even, you know, before Prohibition, millions of prescriptions from doctors, medical doctors, would contain cannabis in it. And they didn't necessarily know about the endocannabinoid system or all this science that we're finding out, you know, in modern times. They just knew that people felt better when they took this plant and that it was a healing plant. And so they would prescribe it for all kinds of things. But then Prohibition came, and, you know, the companies, the cotton companies and paper companies and all these people who didn't want to see hemp, which is a great crop for all those things, be, you know, the go-to. They really pushed to not only outlaw cannabis, but to also outlaw hemp. And the difference between hemp and cannabis, by the way, is hemp has 0.3% THC or less in it. Cannabis has more than that. They're the same plant. So if people wonder what's the difference, cannabis or hemp or marijuana, it's just marijuana is slang, and hemp and cannabis are the real names, you know, for the plant. But hemp is really just cannabis that doesn't have 0.3% or more of THC. So it's the same plant. It's just about how prevalent that one component is.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty thorough explanation. Yes, your engineering background is coming out.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to make sure, because I do have an engineering background, and I want people to understand the truth. I don't want to just be another snake oil salesman who's out there saying, like, take this because it works, and trust me, right? Like, really, it's your body is the miracle. It already has everything inside it that it needs for healing and harmonious function, and the world around us was naturally crafted to support that. But we have removed ourselves from the natural world, and we have changed the natural world to make it not natural. So now we need to take supplements and procure certain nutrients and compounds in a more direct way, because we're not just going to naturally get them.
Very true. Okay, so now you say that we get it, you know, and some of the stuff we eat, and we can get, you know, hemp and cow, you know, and beef. But what is the right dosage for people to take, and when should they take it, under what circumstances?
So the right dosage is something that you'll find for yourself as you try it. From my experience with our clients, a place to start is like 30 milligrams. And one of my big beefs with the CBD industry is how many products don't have that in them at least. Like all of our products have at least 30 milligrams in the dose. And that's because I believe that's like the starting point of a medicinal dose of CBD. So people all the time will buy some CBD soda or some CBD gummy or something, and it's got 10 milligrams of CBD in it, and they'll be like, oh, I didn't feel anything. And it's like, yeah, that's not enough. A lot of people will take more than that. The only people I would say to take less than that to start would be people who classify themselves as hypersensitive, right? So if you take one sip of wine and you're drunk, maybe start with 15 milligrams of CBD as your dose and see how it goes.
Yeah,
but for everybody else, for everybody else, 30 milligrams is a great place to start, and you can decide if you want to take more or not. And to put it in perspective, there's really no amount that you can take that is known to be toxic. I mean, when my dad was in the middle of his treatment, he was taking 600 milligrams a day plus of CBD. And most people are not going to take any more than 100 a day. You know, even the woman who was healing horrible Crohn's IBS, that was massively symptomatic, and she was riddled with pain and in bed all day and couldn't work, she was taking 100 milligrams a day, right? So what I find is that people, it also depends on your sensitivity though, right? So some people don't feel anything from 30 milligrams. Some people know that that's the perfect amount for them, right? And get really kind of like comfortable and ready for bed. The other thing I would say is that take your first doses of it, especially your first ones, in the evening, but not right before bed. And the reason is because what I've experienced with our clients is that about 80% of people, when they take CBD, even the first couple times, they'll get calm, maybe drowsy, relaxed, kind of ready for bed. But 20% of people, for some reason, get energized to a degree. And my only explanation for it is that it's like, well, the CBD is a whole body anti-inflammatory, right? Because it brings harmony to the ECS, the endocannabinoid system, and the whole body is relieved of inflammation. So my guess is that, you know, if you take inflammation out of the body, it liberates the energy that your body was using to fight and try to heal that inflammation. And so some people get energized by it. So I say if you're brand new to it, take your first couple doses at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night, where it's like if you get sleepy, no big deal. But if you get energized, also no big deal because you have a few hours before bed, right? And then you'll find out how it feels and how it works for you, and you'll find your right dose. That dose might go up a little bit over time as you start to saturate the endocannabinoid system, or as you just sort of, you know, recognize what effect you're looking for and how much actually gives you that effect. And I would say to people, just to clarify, because, you know, it comes from the hemp plant, so people think, like, this is about feeling something. This is about getting high on one level or something. It's not at all about that because, you know, first off, it has 0.3% or less THC in it, so it can't get you high. It's not psychoactive, but it can make your body feel relaxed. And most people will feel that the first several times they take it. But me, for example, I take it every night. I don't feel it. I just feel it if I stop taking it. If I stop taking it, after a few weeks of not taking it, I'll start to notice, oh, I got a little sciatic pain. Oh, I got a little low back something or whatever. I just feel less rested in my body, less, you know, right now I'm grateful to live a pain-free life where I don't have any physical pain in my body anywhere at any time. Right. But if I stop taking CBD a few weeks later, I'll start to notice like my low left back hurts. Like, oh, that's where I had that football injury. Like, that's a little something right there. Right. So it's sort of like just to have the expectation that you don't necessarily need to feel it every time. It's more about giving, like I said, I take it like I take vitamin D3. It's a smart supplement to give your body compounds that it needs to work in harmony so that you create greater harmony in your body and greater longevity for yourself and a greater quality of life. You know, and other people, of course, if you have chronic arthritis or you have some sort of thing you're dealing with, you'll feel the difference every time because your hands will be hurting, and then you'll rub the balm on there and they won't be hurting, right? So so it just depends on the situation you're in. If you're generally healthy, it could be just something you're taking because it's smart to take, like why I take D3.
Okay. So how, you know, what makes a good CBD product versus a bad CBD product or just an okay CBD product?
Oh, yeah. So this is another place that I kind of laugh at because a lot of the CBD companies are out there saying, we have the best product. And it's sort of just a made-up claim because how can they possibly know, right? We have the best CBD. Really, at the end of the day, there's just a couple things that consumers or purchasers of CBD should look for. And it's basically look for organic hemp that's grown in the USA. You want your product to be full spectrum, which means that it includes all the cannabinoids present at harvest. But you don't want isolates. If you isolate CBD on its own, it does not work nearly as well, honestly, in my opinion, hardly at all, compared to if there is that 0.2% THC and the other cannabinoids that were in the plant when you harvest. It just, there's what they call the entourage effect. So you want a full spectrum product that's made from organic hemp grown in the USA, that's in a good absorption material like MCT oil or olive oil. And you want it to be simple and straightforward, right? Like it doesn't need to have a million ingredients in it. Our natural flavor tincture literally has two. It's got CBD distillate in it, and it's got MCT oil, and that's all that's in there, right? So it should be straightforward and simple, organic hemp grown in the USA, full-spectrum product, and it needs to be a medicinal dose. Right, so don't look for something that, oh, CBD sleeve tincture, and it's got, you know, valerian root and lavender and rose petals and all these fancy things, but then you look at it and it's got 12 milligrams of CBD per serving or something, right? Like, make sure it has at least 30 milligrams a dose, and if you have all those things, you have a quality product, right? Like, are there going to be slight differences between brands? Definitely, because different farms, different production facilities, you want something that's produced. Oh, here's the last thing you definitely want. Whoever you buy from should have lab results or what's called COAs, certificates of analysis. They should be publicly available. So what that is it's a document that shows, like, hey, this has been tested. It doesn't have pesticides or herbicides or fungal, you know, contaminants. It has the amount of CBD we say that it has in it. Like, that's a huge issue. I mean, the FDA did a study not too long ago, and out of 1,000 brands of, or I think it was, I forgot how many samples it was actually, but out of the samples they took, only 32% or something actually had the amount of CBD they said that they did. So it was like 68% of them were mislabeled. And it was this massive, massive amount of them were mislabeled. And I totally butchered the stats. I don't remember. I think it was like 300 plus brands, though, that they purchased from all over the United States. You know, so you want to look for someone that has lab results available and then, you know, makes a quality, straightforward product. And other than that, you're good to go. Like, there'll be a slight difference between different brands based on the strains of hemp or cannabis that are in their plant, that are in their, you know, based on the facilities that manufacture and make the products, all those things can make a slight difference. But really, like, when someone says that we are the best CBD, it's a completely unfounded claim. Like, at the end of the day, all you can do is make a quality product. And that's why we never hung our hat on, hey, we have the best CBD around. Like, I think we have the best balm because the oil maker who makes our balm is the same guy who helped save my dad's life. And he's been doing it for so long. And for the longest time, we were the only company out there with as strong of a balm as we have. It has 500 milligrams of CBD per ounce. and 1,000 milligrams in the 2-ounce container. And it's not until just a couple months ago that I started to see other companies putting out a balm of that strength. But legitimately, you know, I can't claim some holy wisdom here. It was this oil maker who's been working for 20-plus years underground to help save dying people and heal people with autoimmune diseases and cancers and all kinds of things. He knew how strong it needed to be because he's been in the trenches. So all the time we have people say, hey, I tried three other balms and they didn't do anything, and I put yours on, pain went right away. You know, so I can say we've got one of the best balms on the market. But as far as like, you know, our 1,000 milligram tincture, it's going to be comparable to any other high quality 1,000 milligram tincture.
Okay. So that's some positives. What are some negative side effects that you've seen?
So I have no awareness of any known negative side effects of CBD. I haven't seen any legitimate study showing any negative side effects. I haven't seen any consequence to any of my clients or anyone I know who takes it, even in incredibly high doses. My one buddy who is just, I can't say anything about him other than he's a beast. Like, he's got some body pain issues and some anxiety depression issues, and he's just a tank. And my man is taking, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams a day of CBD. And I'm not recommending that to anyone. It's an incredibly high dose. But there's no consequence of it in the sense that, you know, it's a plant that we were meant to consume, I think. You know, there's a reason why medical cannabis is so important and being fought for so hard, because federally cannabis, you know, with high THC is still a Schedule I substance, which the definition of Schedule I is no known medical benefit, which is absolutely moronic and untrue, and obviously so, right? There are so many people healing all kinds of things using medical cannabis. And so, you know, and then in, you know, I'm a yogi, and in the ancient yogic scripts and texts, they talk about cannabis being one of the six most healing plants on the planet. And, you know, it's like right up there along with like turmeric and some of these other really well-known healing plants. So to me, I don't know of any negative side effects. And for the longest time, what they kept trying to say was that, oh, CBD might be harmful to the liver. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here having helped my dad beat unbeatable liver cancer using massive quantities of CBD. So I have a hard time believing that it could be bad for the liver, because it definitely healed my dad's liver. The one thing I'll say to be aware of is if you take any pharmaceutical medications that have the recommendation on them where it says, like, don't take this with grapefruit, then that is something you want to also space away from when you consume CBD. So the reason those things say don't take this with grapefruit is because there's an enzyme in your liver that'll digest grapefruit and some of the components in what's in grapefruit, but it's also the same enzyme that is needed to digest that pharmaceutical medication. And if you consume a bunch of grapefruit while you're consuming that pharmaceutical medication, too much of it might build up in your blood. You might get a toxicity event, right? So they say, hey, don't take this medication with grapefruit. The same enzyme is part of how you digest and process CBD. So, but it would take a large quantity to really be an impact, you know, at least 200, 300 milligrams a day, which most people will never take, right? So, but just for the best practice, if you take some meds that say that on them, my recommendation is, hey, take those meds in the morning and take your CBD at night. Or take just space them out and give your body some time. It still, again, would take a very large dose of CBD to have an interaction. They've only done scientific studies on it with 200-plus milligrams a day. And even then, that was like on the low end of what could possibly cause an interaction. Most people's CBD dose is going to be somewhere between 30 and 60 milligrams. So it's really not a concern, but it's still worth knowing and being aware of.
Okay, so grapefruit, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So can you give us a few stories from your clients that illustrate CBD's effectiveness?
Sure. I mean, one for sure is what I talked about with the lady who was interviewing me. I mean, she was bedridden with her IBS Crohn's symptoms and 5 days of taking 100 milligrams a day of CBD, and she was back to her life. Another client that comes to mind is a friend of the family who's she's a professional cellist, and she's, you know, in her 60s, and she's been playing the cello for all these years, so her hands hurt. She rubs the balm on her hands, and she plays as much as she wants. My father-in-law, he's a avid surfer, everyday surfer, even into his 60s, and he's got all these surfer friends, and one of them had a bum knee that he was considering surgery on that he hadn't figured out a way to get rid of the pain for a year plus, and he rubbed the balm on, and instantly the pain was gone within minutes, and he's not thinking about surgery anymore, and he's not taking... What I love is the stories where so many people are taking, Excedrin or Advil or Aleve, and we know these things hurt your liver and they hurt your kidneys, and there's a consequence to taking those things consistently. And time and time again, I hear about people getting off of those things by using CBD instead. And, to switch from something that has a known negative consequence to something that has no known negative consequences, I like to say every chemical has a cost. Right, because our body doesn't know how to process them fully. They're synthetic. They're not natural, right? So we don't have the tools inside our body to fully and naturally process chemical agents. That's why they have costs. Whereas there's no cost to a natural approach. Your body knows what to do with it. It knows how to process it. It knows how, and it doesn't create a negative side effect. And that's really the bane of the whole pharmaceutical industry is. The Native Americans, they used to take bark off of the willow tree and chew on it, and that would relieve a headache. Bayer aspirin comes and takes the same bark off the same tree, brings it to a lab, synthesizes some components of it, and makes aspirin, but it's not the bark from the willow tree, so there's a cost. And that's the whole pharmaceutical industry is based on taking natural things that naturally work and then sort of ramping them up with a chemical process, right? Or a concentration process or something like that. And sometimes, hey, I'm not totally downplaying the positive impact that some of these interventions can have. And especially like the surgical precision of Western medical is, if I'm in a car accident, I don't want bark off a willow tree. I want a surgeon to put me back together, right? So there's definitely components to it that are super useful, but as far as how to maintain wellness and harmony, it is missing the mark. And that's why Americans are so dang sick, and the average American is on 7 different pharmaceuticals, which is crazy because I'm on none, and there's lots of people who are on none, which means there's a lot of people who are on way more than 7. Yeah. You got this, and then you got that side effect, and so now you need this, and that causes this side effect, so now you need that, and that causes this side effect. And all of that is so taxing on the liver and the kidneys. And, it's really, to call it medicine is sometimes far-fetched. So not to get on too far of a tangent that way. But, yeah, we've got stories for days. I mean, people with Crohn's and IBS healing their gut issues. My buddy whose dad was having early onset dementia, he said it's – He sent him some oil, and he took it, and he called him up the next day, and he said, son, I didn't tell you this, but when I was going to sleep at night, it sounded like there was a train coming off the tracks in my head. And I took the oil, and that went away. and it's like, oh, good to hear, Dad. Like, you probably should let people know that there's a grinding, screeching sound in your head. Like, but again, it's like wherever you're lacking cannabinoids, the weak link goes first. So, from pain relief to anxiety and depression management, sleep is a huge one. I mean, one of my mentors who's getting up there in age, he was having some prostate issues, and he was waking up 6-7 times a night. And between this CBD oil and a couple other herbs that he's taking, he's been able to actually sleep through the night at times.
Wow.
Or wake up just once instead of 5-7 times to the point where, he's sleep deprived the next day. Sleeping through the night for him was like a game changer, right? And anyone who's had kids, or as I have a 9-month-old running around in the background somewhere, you know, when you're waking up a lot, life gets rough. So, yeah, all kinds of results. And I think for everyone who's skeptical, who hasn't tried it yet, I say just give it a try, you know. Like, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. The stigma around the hemp plant, I think, is something that some people are needing to let go of, because again, CBD doesn't get you high, doesn't make you have visions or trip out, man, or anything like that. It's literally just, it'll make you feel relaxed, it'll help you sleep, it'll help your body heal itself, it'll help you take inflammation out of your body, and it'll help you cure, or I should say relieve, what ails you, you know. And I know this from, there's so much regulation, I can't hardly say this on my website, but person after person after person will attest to, you know, relieving pain, sleeping better, less anxiety, less depression, you know, more energy, better feelings, right? So, like, all around wellness. So, yeah, that's the reason to give it a try.
Okay. Okay, sounds pretty easy. Tell me something now. Your company, you said it gives free coaching and personal development courses. What initially got you interested in personal development or spiritual realization?
Oh, well, like you said in my introduction, definitely, like, I had this horrible breakup in college, and I sort of realized quickly afterwards that I didn't know myself that well. I didn't know why I was who I was. I didn't know what made me tick. And I straight up did not have confidence to go speak to women I thought were attractive or, like, speak my truth, right? And so I started studying social dynamics and psychology, and then also I was in engineering school, so I started going, you know, deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole of physics. And when you get to quantum physics, it starts to bridge modern science and ancient spirituality together. And the stuff that scientists are starting to put formulas and words and experiments to is the stuff that these ancient mystics and yogis have known, you know, throughout all time and throughout, you know, multi-millennia in our modern history. So I started to, you know, get into all that kind of law of attraction and all the kind of, like, American pseudo-spiritual type stuff. And it's just a rabbit hole that just I kept going down and down and down until eventually I met my spiritual teacher and started practicing an ancient form of yoga called Kundalini Kriya Yoga. And, you know, a great book for anyone who's curious on human potential and what's really possible for a person in this world and in this life is it's called Autobiography of a Yogi, and by a yogi named Paramahansa Yogananda. And that was the book that really opened my mind to, like, okay, how was Jesus the man? How did he become the Christ, right? How did, how did Buddha the man, whatever his terrestrial name was, it's escaping me right now, how did he become the Buddha, right? These are people born in flesh, right? They're humans, but they achieve these massive spiritual states that literally carry in their wake millions of people's low and negative vibrations, right? Like, the love that these saints and sages who have come to this planet at different times throughout millennia, and who there are some on this planet right now, they carry the rest of humanity sort of in their dove wings, if you want to say it that way. And because if the vibration of humanity was not helped out by these beings that are just so evolved beyond the average folk, it would be bedlam, chaos, and misery on this planet more than we can imagine, right? So there's this ability and there's this opportunity in this life to find a peace that is unwavering, to find a love that is truly unconditional. You know, when Jesus was on the cross with his body mutilated by, you know, the morons that surrounded him, he literally said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." He was sending love and blessings to the very people that were destroying his body in a brutal fashion. Because first off, he wasn't suffering. Second off, he was still in a loving, harmonious space. And that's, you know, that's whether you're a Christian or a Buddhist or an atheist or anyone, just look at the man. Look at the deed. Don't think about the religion or the dogma or any of the nonsense. And these beings with examples like that are all throughout our history. And again, you'll hear about several of these beings, even some of the ones that were alive in modern times, in that book, Autobiography of the Yogi. So that book was sort of a turning point where it became even more than just, oh, personal development, law of attraction, let me manifest my dream business and my dream relationship and all that kind of thing. It became about something more at that point. It became about becoming one with the divine quality within me that is within you, that is within all beings inside their hearts. You know, Jesus said, ye are gods. He wasn't being metaphorical. He was being specific and direct. Like, okay. We all have the spark of consciousness of divinity within our beings. And whether you access it or don't in this life is entirely up to, you know, whether or not you want to seek your higher potential, right? And at the end of the day, it's about, who can we become for our communities and for others? How much love can we spread? How much kindness can we elicit and deliver to the world around us? How much empathy and compassion? You know, I'm feeling inspired to say this because the world right now is being polarized into insanity. And whether you think, oh, like, what's the latest topic everyone's yelling about? Gun control. Some people say, we need common sense gun laws. Other people say, we need to honor the Constitution. And they both feel very right. And when you're right, guess what somebody else is? They're wrong. And when you're good, guess what somebody else is? They're evil. And really, anyone who's being anything other than love and kindness and compassion and one with the highest frequencies and vibrations that we can hold. Anyone who's doing anything else, whether you think you're justified or not, you're part of the problem. Like, what this world needs now is love. Being, not just saying that because it's a cool bumper sticker, but literally being it, emanating it from your being in all cases, at all times, like the examples in history have and shown us the way. Like, that's the thing that sparked me the most. You know, it started off as like, how do I get laid? How do I make money? It started off as these things that everybody wants, right? We all want a great relationship. We all want to make abundant income. We all want to have some free time to hang with our family and to enjoy life. You know, we all want some freedom. We all want some security. We all want some significance. We all want some community. But there's some things that we all want, period. As you continue to understand yourself deeper and deeper, you start to realize that it's like leading you towards this grand conclusion, which is sort of like becoming the love that we seek to have, like being the lighthouse, right? Being the sun, emanating its rays. That's what's possible for humanity and for each of us individually. So, you know, don't take it as a have to or an ought to, but for me, that just floats my boat. So that's why I keep going with, you know, learning and meditating and applying these wisdoms and experimenting with different philosophies and techniques and sharing what I learned that works for me and serving people and mainly serving myself. It's because we are really one. You are me. So as I help others, I'm helping myself. We're all in this together. It's one earth. It's one boat. It's one ship. It's one humanity. And we're all tied together via collective consciousness. And that is scientifically fact. It is proven that a collective consciousness exists between all of humanity, which is why right now it feels so crazy, because that collective consciousness is being pushed and poked and prodded by so many intentions and these media outlets and all these things. So it's a way intense time to be a human, and I get that, and we're all feeling it. And so it's even more of an urgency to find this truth, to find this evolution, to find, because our society needs it from us more now than ever.
Okay. So that's a little bit about spirituality. How did you get started as a coach?
It actually started off in the dating space. Like I had spent so much time in college, like trying to become like the man and improve my social skills. And eventually I just started teaching what I had learned and what was helping and working for me. And I was helping sort of like unconfident guys to be naturally confident. You know, I wasn't teaching them, oh, here's your pickup line, or this is what you say to be Mr. Smooth. It was more like, how do you, like, if you see a pretty woman and you want to say, wow, I think you're beautiful, like, hello, how do you do that without feeling like a creep, without feeling like you shouldn't, without feeling like it's wrong, without feeling like, you know, who am I to say this, or I'm not good enough? Like, how do you actually just let your real self come out? That was what I was helping people with at first. And then as I continued to go deeper down the rabbit hole, it just kept evolving in what it was and what I was teaching on.
Okay. So tell me about what it evolved into. What type of work do you do with your clients now?
So I have a program I'm actually just about to launch. It's called Elevation, and it's sort of the one thing that we don't offer completely for free, because it's like people work with me one-on-one, and they're my clients, right? But it's really about helping people transition from a life of fear and stress and worry where they have to sort of constantly push to maintain what they have, right? I got to keep grinding. I've got to keep hustling. I want to make sure my family stays in, you know, the nice house we live in. And, you know, I'm constantly motivated by fear, but then fear is very exhausting, and I wish there was a better way, a more harmonious way. I sort of help people earn more, succeed more, but do it from an entirely different place where they also enjoy more and live more and love more. It's really fulfilling work. It has a lot to do with, of course, like outward success, because we're all seeking that. But it's about getting more outward success by like understanding who you are at a much deeper level that makes you much more connected, much more in the flow, much more peaceful and present, and sort of harmonious, and not constantly running off of fear and anxiety and worry, but instead just feeling that flow, feeling that love, and feeling that abundance, and actually seeing more of it in your life too. That's the work that I'm up to these days, is just helping people succeed at new levels by ultimately becoming their next level self. So we call the program Elevation, because it's really about like unlocking your next level of potential, which yes, unlocks more success in the world, but it does it in a whole new way that is much more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm going to ask you later on, but also now would be a very good time to ask you to tell people how to get in touch with you.
So our website, feelgoodhemp.org, is where you can buy products and get CBD products. And we have really great discounts for people who subscribe, because we truly believe that CBD is a lifestyle, not something you just buy once. It's something you integrate into your life. And then feelgoodlibrary.com is where people can get all the learnings and trainings and all that for free. And if you go and subscribe to Feel Good Library, which you can find at Feel Good Hemp or at Feel Good Library, then, you know, you're on our email list and we'll send out emails, and you'll be able to get in touch with us that way. Also, all of our social media links and all that stuff, they're all there. And anyone can feel free to email me, noah@feelgoodhemp.org. I'm always happy to answer questions, connect with people, and really just help.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Now, you've shared a little bit about your change model. Can you explain it to our viewers or to our listeners and how it's useful to people?
Explain what? I'm sorry, I missed one of the words. How what's
your,
useful to people?
Your levels of change model.
Oh, the seven levels of change. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. How much time do we have? Because I don't know if I have enough time to
into
all seven levels.
We can talk, you know, as long as you want. I mean, we can talk another hour, an hour and a half, whatever.
Oh, haha. Okay, well, it's getting late over here, so I don't have that. I don't have a whole other hour, but we can definitely go for a few more minutes for sure. So the seven levels of change is sort of a model that I put together to show people, you know, over 90%+ of goals go unmet, right? The gyms fill up in January and they empty back out in February. And why is that? And I really, after working with clients for so long, and understanding all these different layers of who we are and how we work and what makes us successful versus what takes away from our success, I put these seven levels together because they're really, there's seven different levels, and our actions is just one of those levels. So in that example of the gyms and, you know, setting some sort of weight loss goal, almost everyone focuses exclusively on the action level. Meaning, I'm going to eat this way, I'm going to walk this often, I'm going to sleep this much, I'm going to go to the gym this often, whatever it is, it's I'm going to do these things. And that's fine, but that's only one of the seven layers. And so when we want to really create change in our life, knowing what these seven layers are and how to approach each of them is how you create lasting change and actually make it work. And not fall back into your old habits and not do what you say you want to do and all these things that plague people when we're trying to make change. So it's actually really cool because when you go to the Feel Good Library, the very first training teaches you all about the seven levels of change and shows you how different stuff that's in the Feel Good Library is related to different levels. So all seven levels are addressed for free in the Feel Good Library, and people can go and learn about the seven levels. And then, you know, go find whatever piece that they feel like they want to get addressed first and go grab a training on it. So it's all there, which is really cool.
Okay. And I just want to break in here and say that anybody who has a question tonight while we're live, feel free to call into the show and to ask your question of Noah, who's here right now. So call in. 424-243-9540. And once you call that number, press 1. So I'm sitting here in the studio and I'll see a big question mark beside your number. So I'll know that you have a question you want to ask. Since nobody has a question that I can see right now, no, we'll just go on and you can talk about your models have changed. So how did you come up with this model?
Yeah, again, it really came from working with people and seeing and from learning so much over the time of all these years of just personal development, studying and practicing and working with people and seeing what was getting them stuck and how that was playing out in their life. And it came from in the trenches, honestly. It just makes sense once you've seen all the experiences I've seen. And then, of course, I think my engineering brain came back on and had to create a model for it.
Okay. So what's the best place to begin? Where do you start?
So if you go to feelgoodlibrary.com and you sign up, there's a section that says start here, and in that section it'll teach you the seven levels of change. And if I was to pick one place to start, I would start at the top, which is your intuition, and really consciously, intuition is like any other muscle. If you go to the gym and you do bench press, you're going to get a stronger chest. If you do certain practices, you're going to develop your intuitional muscle and your ability to hear your intuition and to get guidance from it clearly. And so I love starting there because a lot of the things that people are trying to achieve in life, if they were clearer with their intuition, they would recognize that it's maybe not for them. You know, I'll give you a clear example. Back when I was kind of starting out with this law of attraction stuff, and I was focusing on manifesting my goals and my dreams. I had a vision board on the wall, and this is, I was still in college, but I had these girls on the vision board, and they kind of looked like porn stars, right? They were like sexy, barely wearing anything, very like harsh attitudes of like, yeah, I'm so sexy, right? And then you flash forward a couple years later, and I have a different vision board on the wall. And this is a couple years later, and I know myself a little bit more, and I'm a little bit more connected to my true self. And so the girl on this vision board, though, they look very different. It's like a woman in a white flowing sundress, spinning, smiling in a field of yellow daisies,
mm-hmm.
right? Totally different woman and thing to focus visually on. And, you know, now that I've been married for 5+ years, I'll tell you, my wife is definitely the flowing, spinning, sundress-wearing, smiling lady and not the porn star. And so it's like, why was I focused on trying to achieve some sort of porn star relationship or woman or something? Because of society, because of programming, because I didn't know myself, because of what was fed to me and by this world. Right. And so that's why I say that getting started with upgrading your intuition is a really great place to start, because you might, as you do that, you might notice that certain things don't even feel true for you anymore. And then you can save all the energy that was going to be wasted trying to go for something that's not true for you. Because guess what? When something isn't true for you, it won't happen for you no matter how hard you try. And I've lived through certain experiences that have proven that to me, that no matter how smart you are, talented, focused, determined, no matter how much grit you bring, if something is not meant for you, it will not happen. I'm positive of that. And conversely, if something is meant for you, it will happen, period. So it's like we have a divine destiny, and being able to tap into it and understand it and get guidance from it, even on the subtlest level, can really help. The other thing I'd say that's really great to start with in the Feel Good Library is a section called the Total Emotional Reset, which is, it's one session, 20 minutes long, and you can take all trapped emotional energy out of your body and release it. Mm-hmm. And it really helps people. So I'd say those are some great places to start.
Okay, wonderful. So... okay, that's where you start, but what is the most useful place to be, and why?
Huh, well, maybe that's the same answer. Because, you know, okay, I'd say another really useful training in there is called Tapping Hacks. And that's teaching EFT tapping or emotional freedom technique. It's something I used for a very long time, very heavily, and so I created some of my own completely unique ways to use that technique. And it's really great for taking trauma out of the body and the nervous system. And that's another great place to start, because we don't realize it, but we're not really, you know, you think you're seeing with your eyes, but actually your brain is processing the images that come through your eyes. So we're really just a walking nervous system. Right, we're not feeling feelings. There's an electrical signal getting processed by our hand or our foot or whatever, sent to the brain, and the brain tells us this is what you're feeling, right? And so we're these walking nervous systems, but the nervous system can store trauma, and so people don't realize that a lot of times we're too wired with old stress and trauma to create a new life. We're habituated to our stress and our trauma. It's stored in our nervous system. And all you can get is what you are. You can't get something new unless you become new. And so tapping is a great place to reset your nervous system so you can have something new. So another place I would say people could start that's very important would be with the Tapping Hacks course.
Okay, that's interesting. So that's where you start to work on yourself. So what do you believe about healing? I want to know your thoughts about the healing process, whether we're talking physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. How do you define healing?
Well, I'm not sure who said this, whether I heard this from Yogananda or my mentor or whomever. I'm not sure, but I remember hearing healing is the application of love to the parts that hurt. And I think that's super accurate. And all these different techniques and things that we offer are really just different ways to apply the necessary love to the different parts of us. You know, like I said, we're a mental body, we're an emotional body, we're a physical body, we're a spiritual body, we're an energetic body. We have all these different layers. You can classify them however you'd like. We have our nervous system, we have our musculoskeletal system, right? Like, we have all these different ways to address our different layers of being. Ultimately, there's different ways to give those different layers love, so that they reset, rejuvenate, renew, and become like new, right? So, you know, I hear my daughter screaming in the background. It's like, you never saw a nine-month-old that you said, oh, man, that's an evil baby. That's a bad baby, right? That you never looked at a nine-month-old and said, that's a harsh baby, or that baby's going to grow up to be a killer, or that baby's going to grow up to be a bigot, although they're trying to say that nowadays because we live in clown world. But you know what I mean? Like, you are born a fresh slate. There's different things energetically that come in with you. In yoga, they call it samskaras. It's like energy structures that move between lives that come in with your soul. That's a whole other topic. But I'm just saying, from a standpoint of, like, purity, when you look at a baby, every baby is innocent. Every baby is pure. Every baby is not only totally lovable, but full of love, right? And so love is ultimately, and faith is ultimately, the only thing that ever heals. Yes, these techniques are useful. If you have no faith in any of these techniques, they probably won't do much, right? Like, I'm totally going to misquote it, but where Jesus talks about, you know, knocking and, I can only enter if you open the door to your heart, essentially, right? And what that's saying from a faith healing perspective is that God is the only healer, right? Another way to think about that is we don't heal the body. The body heals itself. The divine intelligence of our body is so superior to anything we understand. Modern science barely understands a fraction of how the human body works. It's miraculous, right? And so the body heals itself with divine intelligence. We don't heal the body. God heals the body. God is the body. You know what I mean? It heals itself. So, but if we don't have faith, we can interrupt that. We can keep the door closed, right? So people who are going to remove trauma from their nervous system using tapping, the first step is actually that they believe that that could be a thing that could be true. They had enough faith and enough trust to believe in something they hadn't seen yet, to try something they hadn't tried yet, to do something they hadn't done yet. And with the faith and the trust, you open the door. And then the different techniques, whether it's Reiki or acupuncture or CBD or tapping or whatever the technique is, there's quantum touch. There's so many energy healing modalities. There's so many healing modalities, but what's the root of all healing is faith, and faith leads to trust. Faith and trust allow you to allow in what needs to happen for you to heal. Now, the woman who interviewed me who healed herself from her Crohn's disease with CBD, the reason she tried CBD is because she was meditating, and she said to herself, I am perfect health. And I allow into my experience perfect health. And then from her intuitive inner voice, she heard, you should try CBD. And so then she had never thought about it before. She sort of never tried it before, but she heard it from within herself. And so then she tried it, and it was literally the game changer for her in that moment. right? So it's like, but where did that come from? It came from the faith and the trust. It came from her willingness to listen, to be open to the idea that something magnificent could happen, could come in, that she could be in perfect health, that she could heal, right? Same thing with my father, right? He got given 3 months to live with no percentage chance to survive. If I had believed that, if we had all believed that, I guarantee that's the way it would have gone, right? But I had faith and trust that something else was possible and the willingness to give it a try, and then so something else happened, right? But faith and trust is the doorway to all healing. So I think that's a good thing for people to remember.
Yes, faith and trust. Very nice. So that probably plays into the next question I wanted to ask you here. What do you think is the most useful insight you've come to after all these years coaching and working with people?
So definitely what I just shared is part of it, 100%.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say is that, it's like Jimi Hendrix said. He's like, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, love is not just a concept; it's a force. Love and God are synonymous. They're the same word in my mind. Universe and love, the Tao and love. They're the same thing. There is only love, right? And so in this world where there's so many quote-unquote problems to solve and so many bad guys and boogeymen to chase and to fight, what I'd say is that if you actually just blast love at everything, you could call it sending prayers, but it's beyond that. It's about tangibly visualizing and emanating the frequency of love from your being towards anything that you see or perceive as an obstacle. Someone's talking smack about you, send them love, right? Another school shooting happens, send love. You're not sure where your next rent bill is coming from, send love. And watch how the love creates changes and results in your life. It sounds too simple, but
yeah.
It actually works. I'll give you a direct example. My wife and I were moving back. We actually recently moved back to Southern California, and we were renting a place sight unseen. And, we had heard from a family friend, oh, my God, this place is great. I love it. I was going to rent it, but, you guys, my wife said it wasn't big enough for us, and so she forced me not to, right? So we rented it. Ends up there was in one of the main big rooms. There's water damage in the roof and some mold, and my wife is allergic to mold, so it's a huge problem. So we moved out immediately, didn't move in, and we found another place that's just obviously a million times better, and we're super grateful that it all happened at the end of the day. But we were dealing with a landlord who was being difficult. He thought we were liars, that the mold wasn't there. He didn't want to refund any money until his house had been re-rented. This whole intense thing where I'm like, oh, am I going to have to, go to small claims court and do that whole song and dance? It's not really what I want to put my attention to, but, if we have to, we will. But every night, my wife and I send love to different things, and we were sending love to this landlord. And just as I was formatting my email to tell him about, this would be, he has one more opportunity to send us our money back before we have to take, this issue to court and yada, yada. I'm literally formatting that email, and I get a call from the guy. And he's totally switched his tune. He's super sorry for the inconvenience. He didn't realize what was wrong with the place. He's far away. He's living in Hawaii. He's going to send us a check in the mail tomorrow for the full amount of every dime we've paid him. And just like that, it was resolved.
Wow.
And it's these kinds of things that tangibly happen all around me all the time because of this practice. And so it sounds super simple, but I'll tell you, it's like they say when you roll around with a pig, everyone ends up in the mud, mm-hmm. right? If we fight problems at the level of consciousness of the problem, you just end up vibrating and creating more of the problem. Like, have you ever written a well-thought-out, snarky email to someone about, like, this is why you're wrong, and this is why I'm right, and here are all the reasons that prove that I'm right, and you will now know that I am right once you finish reading this email. And then have you ever gotten the result back from that email being them being like, you know what, you are right, and I am wrong, and my tune is totally changed now, and thank you for showing me the right way to think. No,
I've never gotten anything like that back.
Never. You always just get back a whole bunch more of angry garbage. Even if you are right, and even if they are wrong, nothing changes. They don't see anything from your perspective. It's just a fight. And when you fight the fight, it creates more fight. But when you love the fight disappears because love is stronger.
Mm.
And so it's like about bringing that concept into every area of our life, becoming that love. That's the most important thing any of us can ever do. That's what the great spiritualists all knew. That's what they preached. That's why on the cross, Jesus is spreading love. That's why he's left a ripple effect that's felt by the world thousands of years later. And whether, you know, all the practices that are being done in his name are good, certainly they're not. But it's like the man wasn't part of the dogma. He was an avataric being. He was a saint, a sage, a great mystic, whatever you want to call it. He was a holder of love, Christ consciousness, and a beacon of it for others. You know, and people listening to this interview might think I'm a Christian. I'm not. I'm actually Jewish by blood, but I'm not, you know, a practicing Jew either. Like, I'm a yogi. And the thing is that Jesus wasn't a Christian. If anything, he was a Jew, but truly he was a yogi. And he was a yogi. So in India, people don't know this, but in India there's statues of Jesus all over the place because he's known as a great mystic yogi, as an avataric being that came to this planet for the an avatar is a being that comes to this world for the salvation of the world and not for themselves. And the Buddha was an avatar, and Jesus was an avatar, and there's lots of avatars. There was a female avatar in the 20th century named Ananda Moya Ma, who tens of thousands of people would gather just to listen to her sing. She was born to a poor family in Bangladesh, and the day she was born, these wise men knocked on the door, which is a very similar story to the Jesus, and they said, like, hey, this is an avatar. And she was completely uneducated, and but she would sing, and thousands, all world leaders and all these people would come to visit her, and these scientist guys who were like, huh, we'll prove this is just a nothing of a person, and she's a fraud, she's a sham. These scientist guys went to this completely uneducated woman, and they started asking her all these advanced science questions. And she knew the answers to every single one of them because she had the entire knowledge of the universe at her disposal because she was an avataric being. And so, you know, it's like even going back to Jesus, do you think Jesus didn't know he was being betrayed or set up or that he was going to have his crucifixion? Like, he knew everything.
Of course he knew,
exactly, but he still marched towards his own immediate and brutal physical death because he was that attuned to the love force, to his purpose, to his reason for being, to what was meant to happen, what was divine destiny, and to what was meant to be. And so, you know what I mean? And he walked there with love because he was so beyond anything that has to do with trying to fight for and preserve this physical body. You know, that's animal stuff. We are animals, for sure. We poop and pee and fight and fornicate, right? But we also have the capacity to evolve well beyond our animal nature. And that's just being
outside to us.
Yeah. My guru says it's about going from man the brute to man the god. And you could say woman the brute to woman the goddess, right?
Okay.
That's the evolution. So we've all been the brutes. We've all stood on battlefields. We've all fought for the right to live. right, and defended the right to live at some point, some way in history and our many lives. Now we're humans, and our greatest goal is to at least be civil, to be humans, right? But mm-hmm. our highest goal is to evolve to divine consciousness and love. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty great way to a pretty great focus for the end of this.
Yeah, so just tell us all again how to reach you.
So feelgoodhemp.org is where all of our products are for sale and where people can also access the Feel Good Library and learn more about our story and all that kind of stuff. Or you can go straight to feelgoodlibrary.com. And that's where there's also access to the library. But it all really lives at feelgoodhemp.org. So you can just go straight there and get the library and the products.
Okay, well, thank you, Noah. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you. And continue your work.
Thanks, Doran. It was great talking to you, too. And thanks for having me on.
Okay, I'm glad we connected. Thank you very much. Good night.
All right, take care.
Goodbye.